Pastor Jay and Stacy Coleman.
All right.
I think that's the best welcome we've ever had.
I think so. Well, look, let's all stand to our feet. Let's stand back up. Come on. Youngster, now, there's no reason for that. Everybody stands up a lot here, so I'm like, we might as well get in on the game, okay? Thank you, Clint. We love you guys. Yes. And I got to tell you what, your pastors are a tremendous blessing. One of the things that he did not tell you, some of y'all know this story already. We met, he and Melanie and Stacy and I, we met in an elevator. We met in an elevator.
We did.
We were at our hotel. We were at a conference, headed to the same place, and they got in the elevator. And we didn't know them. They didn't know us, and we just started talking because they looked like nice people. And before we got to the bottom, I said, found out where they were going. I said, "Do y'all want to ride with us?" And they said, "Sure. Y'all don't look like serial killers." And so they got in the back of the Suburban that we had rented and rode with us to this pastor's house, and we had dinner together and then rode back. And Stacy, when we got up to the hotel room, she was like, "What were you thinking?" I'm like, "Why?" And she said, "What if they were serial killers?" Well, I found out later on that Melanie was saying the same thing to Clint. Like, what were you thinking? They could have been serial killers. Thank goodness we were not. The presence of the Holy Spirit was there to give guidance. But
it was actually a divine connection is what it was.
And so, thank goodness nobody got killed. Yes. Okay. All right. So y'all doing all right? I got to tell you what. When I found out that we were going to be able to be a part of this series, Family Values, I said, I told Clint, I said, Stacy and I would love to actually be able to share together because we like to speak together when it comes to marriage and family. And this series has been great. I understand that y'all have talked a lot about relationships, talked a lot about marriage, and talked a lot about family. And one of the things Clint was sharing with me just yesterday was one of the messages was on about having a fight plan. For your, within your marriage, you got to have the right fight plan, and to make sure that when you have a disagreement, because who in here has ever had a disagreement before? Okay, we're in church. Y'all be honest. So who's had a disagreement before? Yeah, be proud of it, own it. Okay, there's a way you can fight or have a disagreement to where it'll be destructive, or you can have one that's constructive, which will actually build your marriage and make it stronger. And so, this series, what he was telling me about, it's been great. We want to come at a little bit different angle today. But before we dive off into this, I have one thing. Not only is it good to be back here because you guys always treat us like family. We love Georgia. But something happened since we were here in 2019. LSU won a national championship in 2019. But, hold up, wait. Because I know some of you are like, get off the stage. Okay. Who else won a national championship? Yeah, go Dogs. There is only one other SEC team that I cheer for, and it is the Georgia Bulldogs, because I love them. I got family here in Georgia, not just y'all, but I literally have family here in Georgia. And is that a gator chomp in the sound booth? What is going on back there? Okay, all right. But that's awesome. So,
yes, well, we definitely, before we get started, we want to honor your pastors today. So, Pastors Clint and Melanie, we just want to let you know how much you are loved. You're doing a great job, and especially serving this congregation, but serving this community. Like, I'd love to hear every time we visit, I want to know what's happening with Project 216 and how you're taking care of the children in this community, and it is just such a blessing. So, let's give it up for your pastors. This morning. They're doing a great job.
Mm-hmm. I know y'all not comfortable with that, but y'all do a great job. Yes. Y'all really love. Yes. Look, let me tell you what they love Jesus, they love this community, and they love y'all. And they brag about y'all, talk about y'all, and it has blessed me to watch over the last 2 years. We haven't been here a little over 2 years with everything going on during the pandemic. It's amazing to me that a lot of churches struggled. A lot of churches had some issues that they were working their way through, and believers has thrived. I mean, this church in this community has just thrived. And even in our church, a lot of people were struggling in their marriages. A lot of people were struggling with their faith. And it's just a tremendous time to be able to step out and minister. But it blessed my heart to hear all the things that the Lord was doing here. Something special is happening in this community. And I'm not just saying that. And something special is happening within this church. Look at your neighbor and say, that's awesome. Now, here's the direction we're going to go today, because that kind of set it up a little bit. It's kind of sad to live in this day and age, because one of the things you see is a lot of division. You see a lot of people arguing in their marriages, a lot of people arguing within their communities, a lot of people arguing over things like politics and all these different types of things. And today what we want to do is we want to kind of push back from that, and we want to talk to you about the heart, the mindset of unity. Everybody say unity. Because I bring this up, and it's so important. We talk about this in our church on a regular basis. You may not understand and realize just how powerful unity really is. If you have your Bible today, take it out. Go to the book of John. We're gonna look at a lot of different verses, but this is going to be our keynote scripture. We're going to kind of camp out here, and we're going to start here, and we're going to finish here in the book of John. Because as we look and see how powerful unity really is, you see Jesus preparing to go to the cross. You see Jesus getting ready to go for the worst day ever. He knows he's about to pour out everything. And he says this as he's spending these last moments with his disciples. He's praying for them. And the cool part about this is he's not just praying for them. He's praying for all of us as well. John 17, 20 says this. I'm praying not only for all of these disciples, the ones there with him, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. Look at your neighbor and say, hey, that's us. That's us. He's talking about us right there. And look at what he says after that. I pray that they will all be, what is the word?
One.
Can y'all see it? Is it behind me? I pray that they will all be, what's the word?
One.
Okay, let's say it one more time, a little bit louder. I pray that they will all be
one.
Unity is powerful. Now, you see Jesus talking about this, but you also see later in church history, one of the early fathers of the early church, Paul, he writes to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. He says this, finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, strive for full restoration, encourage one another. Here it is. Be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. And here's what I like about that. When you look at those two key scriptures, is that not only is Jesus talking about unity amongst the believers, but you see Paul, an early father in the church, talking about unity as well. He's literally saying that, hey, to be of one mind is crucial. We have to have that. You might say, well, what does unity actually look like? Well, here's a Webster's dictionary definition of unity. It's the state of being one, an accord, as in aims, feeling, or agreement. In other words, when we come together as one, there is unity there. There is power there. And we stand in that as the body of Christ, as the church, and in so many other areas of our lives.
That's right. So let's think about how great unity is, because, you know, certain things are just better together. We talk about that a lot at our church. You know, our marriages, we're better together when we're unified. Jay and I are empty nesters now. Our three sons are grown.
I'm trying to contain my excitement.
He gets awfully excited about it. It took me a little while.
Okay, no,
I have
amazing.
To all the mama heart. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So because we're empty nesters, like, we've really had to adjust to how we go grocery shopping. You know, we're not having to buy, you know, in bulk to feed these growing boys anymore. And so here we go to our local Walmart, and we're shopping, and we're trying to be healthy. You know, we want to eat the good stuff and all that, because, you know, we don't have all those boys to eat all the snacks. And so, of course, we're going down each aisle, but it never fails that we always pull over and stop at the cookie aisle, because
anybody else do that?
There's just this one kind of cookie that we really love, and it, you know, even when we've been the healthiest, no lie, we will catch each other hiding out in the pantry with these cookies. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, you know it's true. Okay, so Oreo cookies. How many of y'all love Oreo cookies? I mean, and everybody's got their way of eating those Oreo cookies, right? But it's just not even right if you don't have Oreos and Milk. That's right.
Milk.
Because there are certain things that are better together, right?
When you take that Oreo cookie and you unite it with the milk, it's absolutely amazing.
It is. It is. All right, it's amazing.
Quick poll. Who in here keeps the cookie together and you eat the whole cookie as a whole, okay? Who does that? Who in here breaks the cookie apart and eats it separately, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're on my team.
Yeah, who has to dip it in there until it just, like, falls apart in the milk? Yeah, that's me. Okay.
Some things just go better together. When you have unity, milk and cookies is absolutely amazing.
It is. It is. But, you know, there's unity in a lot of different things, but unfortunately within the church, a lot of times we don't see that. It's not as present in the church as we would like it to be. I mean, historically, the church is known for fighting over, like, the color of the carpet or building programs or in the last few years, the masks and the vaccine and just all these. There's always some type of disunity that has been found in the church, and the world sees that. The world sees how the church is fighting, and fighting amongst Christians has done a lot of damage to the cause of Christ, and it's not been a good thing. It damages our witness. It hinders the spread of the gospel. And it says in Psalms 133:1, it says, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity, because we are better together. Amen? Amen. So we, as believers, we need to strive for unity.
Now, here's one of the things that I want to tell you, because we understand how powerful unity is, but there's another one who understands how powerful unity is as well. It's the devil. He knows that in our marriages, when we come together, when we're praying together, when we're studying together the Word of God, when we're growing together and there's healthiness there, he hates that. Right. He hates it whenever a church comes together with one mindset, one accord, one vision, one purpose, and we're going to make a difference in this community. We're going to serve people and share the love of Jesus, and we're going to share the gospel with people. The enemy absolutely hates that. And it's the very reason why he's going to do everything that he can, hear me on this, to destroy your relationship with God, to make you busy, to distract you, to cause all these different things within your life to try to pull you away from God where that unity is not there between you and the presence of God. He's going to try to cause division within your marriage so that you're not able to walk in unity with your spouse. He's going to try to stir things up within your family. He's going to try to stir things up within the church, within the community, because he wants to destroy the unity that God calls us to walk in, because unity is powerful. Now, here are a couple of verses for you to begin to really understand. You see Jesus talking about unity, praying for us to have unity. You see Paul writing about unity, but listen to some of these verses and you begin to get a firsthand account of how powerful unity really is. A lot of you are probably familiar with Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Jesus has ascended. He's gone into heaven at this point. And the ones with the disciples, the ones within the early church, they come together and they gather like Jesus told them to. And it says this in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, look at this, they were all with one accord in one place. In other words, they had one mindset. They understood the purpose that God had called them to. And as they're there, you know the rest of the story. The Holy Spirit comes upon that place, and it is absolutely amazing. The church has never been the same since that day, since that moment, because of unity. There's another story. That's New Testament. There's another story in the Old Testament when Jehoshaphat was king. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 4, and they had an enemy that was coming against them. And Jehoshaphat called for all the people to come together, and they prayed, and they began to worship God. One mindset, one accord. As Scripture records in chapter 20, verse 4, the people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came together from every town in Judah to seek him. Now, that would be like if there was something going on in this community and the people came together from all across the county, from this town and that town, and everybody came together so that we could pray, so that we could worship. Look what verse 22 says. And as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah. And look at the last part. And they were defeated. All because of unity. Everybody say unity.
Unity.
As they came together, God destroyed the enemy in front of them. And these ambushes, the enemy literally began to fight against one another. And I'm going to tell you something. In this world where the enemy's going to do everything that he can to try to bring destruction against our marriages, against our families, against the church, against all these different areas, that we have to stand strong. And we have to know that as we come together in unity, that God can crush the enemy under our feet. Amen?
Amen.
How important is it for us to be together? Well, most Christians know Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 30, where it's talking about standing against the enemy. And it says, how can one man chase 1,000 or two put 10,000 to flight? And what that verse references is this: by ourselves, we can do something. But when we have someone that we are standing together in unity with, amazing things can take place. That we can stand in prayer, we can stand in faith, and we can see amazing things begin to happen within our lives, within our marriages, within our church, within our family. And so, husbands and wives that are gathered here today, we talk about family values. Unity is probably one of the most powerful family values that we can have at place within our homes. Because as husband and wife come together, we stand, and the enemy might be coming against our kids. The enemy might be coming against our marriage. But as we stand together, we pray together, we love each other, we love Jesus together, it is amazing how we can see the enemy crushed underneath our feet. And so unity brings within our lives and within our homes the confidence of God. It brings order from the Holy Spirit. It brings a boldness from the Holy Spirit. It brings power into our lives where we can stand against the wiles, the attacks, the things, the tricks that the enemy wants to bring against us. So here's what we're going to do. We talked to you about the power of unity, but now we want to break it down a little bit. How many of y'all can use some practical knowledge in your life? Just how do I take this message out of here and really put it into place within my life where I can make this, you know, do something with it? Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a few minutes and we're going to talk about the different areas. And you probably know already some of those areas, but we're going to talk about some of those different areas where we really need unity. And then we're going to talk about practicality. In other words, how do we get that? How do we put that in place within our lives? So I'm actually going to throw this back to you, and I'm going to let you kick this part off. And you can talk about the very first area that we need unity, because I know you love this.
Okay, so if you're taking notes, I want you to write these down, okay? So the first one is, I need unity with my spouse. Okay, so like we talked about earlier, we are better together, right? We are in need of being unified in our marriages, because marriage can be hard work. Can I have an amen on this from the married folk in the house? Okay. So, you know, because we both bring into the marriage our own way of doing things, right? Sometimes we bring in a lot of different baggage, and we're trying to combine that into our marriage. And, you know,
now how many of you know that when you get married, opposites, what? Opposites?
Attract.
And then after you get married, opposites
attack.
Okay? Because the little cute things you thought were so cute, oh, it's so cute, I love you, those things bug you after you get married. You're like, man, you know, why do you put the toilet paper on this way when it's supposed to be that way? Okay? So,
or why do you squeeze the toothpaste the wrong way?
I don't know, but yeah. It's just part of life.
Yeah,
okay?
That's right.
But
that's right.
So we talk about the ways the enemy comes against you. He comes against you in the little areas, right. The little things. Okay?
That's right. So we both bring into the marriage, you know, all these different ways of doing things, but we need to purpose in our heart that we're going to work together in unity, because God desires for us to have a close union. Okay, the enemy wants to destroy it, but God desires for there to be a close union, that we function together, and that we function by being led of the Holy Spirit. And I always say that we're to function as a team, and to have a team mindset when it comes to our marriage and our spouse. And so let's look at Genesis 2:24. It says, that is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Now, this is speaking a little bit more than just about the physical connection. It's talking about the emotional and the spiritual unity that's needed in our marriages. You know, like I was talking about, you know, you have to have that team mentality, that to where we're functioning, that team mindset where we're functioning together because we're better together. You know, when we were first married, we made a choice. We came into agreement we were unified in the decision that we were in how we did our finances. We were in unity on how we did our finances, whether it was that, okay, if once we get married, we make the decision that we are going to give the Lord our first fruits. We're going to tithe the first 10% of what the Lord brings into us. That was one thing. Then another thing we decided about our finances was if we had a major purchase that we needed, something we needed to buy, whether it was a car or a washing machine or whatever it was, that we would talk about it first, and we would pray about it before we did that. And so that's coming in unity, having that team mindset, working together, and having unity with our spouse.
So we need unity with our spouse. Everybody say my spouse, not somebody else's spouse, spouse. Okay, because once again the enemy wants to come against you, and that's another message for another day.
Yes,
Clint.
Yes.
We'll just leave that with you. Okay. So everybody say, my spouse.
My spouse.
I need unity with my church. Everybody say, my church.
Church.
Now, throughout the book of Acts, you see this. I love the book of Acts. It is, a lot of people wonder, like, why does the book of Acts end so abruptly? You know, it's kind of like you just get to the end and it just, whoop, ends really abruptly because it was written up to that place in history. And the book of Acts is actually a book that it never ended. It's still being written today about the church. We, as we live out the Acts of the church, are writing chapter upon chapter of what God is doing. So I love this book that we see in the New Testament, but what is so cool is you see the church in one accord. You see the church in unity. You see the church of one mindset, and God is doing amazing things all throughout the days of the early church. Now, you hear a lot of things against the church today, okay? But I'm here to tell you, the church worldwide, and even here in America, is doing some pretty amazing things, serving, loving, helping people come to know Jesus as the Lord and Savior of their life. And God's doing some amazing things here at Believers Church. As you see people come to know Christ and you see the love of Christ leave out of this building every week as y'all head out into the community. But we need a unity within the body of Christ, because amazing things happen when we come together, one mindset, one accord, one unity. And you heard Stacy talk about this a few minutes ago. The church historically, and you know what I'm going to talk about whenever I say this, historically the church is known kind of for arguing amongst itself. And it's like this, you know, and I grew up in this. I grew up Southern Baptist, and we'd argue over everything, y'all. You know, one of the things, I remember I watched this church split over the color of the carpet in the new building project. I remember one time the biggest argument about what side of the church the piano goes on and what side of the church the organ goes on. And everybody knows that the piano goes on the right, the organ goes on the left, okay? But, I mean, just fussing and fighting and squabbling. And here's the question, because you know that stuff makes it out into the community. What do you think those in the community that don't know Jesus, what do you think they say about that? Well, there goes the church again. They can't even get along amongst themselves. And they want us to go there. They want us to know about Jesus. But historically, that is kind of the mindset, the reputation that the church has. And here's what I want to tell you. It's time as the body of Christ that we drop all of that. We focus on having unity within our church. Everybody say, my church.
My church.
And we fulfill the mission, the purpose that God has for us. You might say, what is that? To build the kingdom. Jesus gave us a great commission before he stepped off this earth. Go into the world, preach the gospel, baptize, disciple. Do what I've called you to do. And it is to build the kingdom of God. Now, how many of y'all have watched over the last several days everything unfolding over in the Ukraine? What do you think about that? We watched that, and a lot of times we're kind of like, oh, that troubles me. We're praying about that. And truth be told, it should trouble us here, not necessarily for political purposes or anything like that. But you may not realize this. Ukraine is a nation where the gospel is being preached very heavily. There's a lot of missionaries coming out of the nation of Ukraine going across Europe over the last 10 to 15 years sharing the gospel. It's probably one of the foremost missionary sending nations within that area. And here's what's crazy about this. When you see these things happen, the reason why it troubles my heart is not just because of the hardship, not just because of the things going on there, but I know that the body of Christ, the church, is suffering. But here's the cool part. You see pictures of the church coming together and praying through this. You see on Facebook and social media, the church having worship services and still going out and sharing the gospel and loving and helping. You say, well, why should that be so important to us, Pastor Jay? Because here's a question for you. If something happened to your family here in Sylvania, here in this area, would it bother you? I'm talking about you, your grandma, your aunt, your uncle, your cousin Ray Ray. I'm talking like your brothers and sisters. If something happened to your family, would that bother you? Okay, got one person back here who said yes. Okay. Would it bother you?
Yes.
Yeah. Why would it bother you? Because that's your family. Well, here's the reality. What's going on over in Ukraine? The church there? That's our family too. It's hard for us to really grasp that. We, you know, we say, oh, brother so-and-so. You know, I saw Brother Ken came in. Hey, Brother Ken, how you doing? It's good to see you. But it's hard for us many times to grasp that that is our family, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Do this for me. Look around. Look at somebody around you. Not your spouse, because that's an easy one. Look at somebody around you and say, what's up, my brother, my sister, whoever it is. Might be a woman, might be a man. Just say, what's up, my brother? What's up, my sister? Come on, y'all do it. Some of y'all are just like, I ain't doing that, okay? It's our brother. It's our sister in the Lord. Once you step into the family of God, then the church becomes your family. Mm-hmm. Not get it, every family has their issues, right? Every family's got that, you know, got that weird uncle, right? Hey, some of y'all are like, we ain't got a weird uncle in the family. You might be the weird uncle, you know? Every family has issues. It's true. It's part of life. But guess what? Within the body of Christ, this is our family. And what's happening over in Ukraine? What happened in Afghanistan over the summer? Our brothers and sisters there. That's why we pray for them. That's why we lift them up before the Lord. That's why we ask God to preserve and watch over them so that they can continue with the mission of building the kingdom. I wonder if we could take a moment to just pray for Ukraine. Can we do that? And pray for the church in Ukraine. Father, we love you so much. And thank you for your wonderful presence here with us right now. Lord, you see what's happening in Ukraine, Father. We pray for your hand of protection over the church, over the believers, over the people of that nation. They are so precious, Lord God. And Father, I pray that you would preserve life, Father. Lord, we pray for a David anointing. And as Goliath comes against them, Lord God, that as they stand their ground, that they will smite the enemy in front of them, Lord God. And we thank you for your power at work over that tiny nation, Lord God. But Father, we pray that above everything, that people in that country, even Russian soldiers, Lord God, would come to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of their life. And Father, I thank you for the mission the church is on in Ukraine, Lord God, to worship and honor you, but to spread the gospel, Lord God, to go into the world all around them and share the good news of Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for our brothers and sisters there. And Lord, we continue to lift them up before you, not just today, but every day from here on out, Lord God. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, what's everybody say together?
Amen.
Amen. So I need unity with my spouse. I need unity with my church. I'm getting long-winded. I got to turn it over to you.
Okay, right. So we need unity with our spouse, with our church, and I need unity with my family. Okay, so how many of you love your family? You love your family, immediate, extended family. What, you love your family, right? Well, our family has definitely grown. You heard me say earlier that we are empty nesters. We are parents of three grown sons, and I have a picture I want to, this is my opportunity to show you my family. There we go. It's our Christmas picture. So our family has really grown from the five of us. We now have three beautiful daughter-in-laws, and as of 2020, we have two grandbabies.
The only ones that really matter in that picture are the two babies right there. They are our world other than Jesus, okay?
Yes, wrapped around our little finger. How many of y'all are grandparents? You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, people would say all the time, you're going to love it. You just have no idea. It's really true. It's really true. To be a grandparent is fantastic. And so if I don't get enough hugs and kisses, where I'm like calling saying, hey, can I come by just to get a kiss before we leave out of town? We definitely want to see our babies all the time. So we have our three sons. Tyler's married to Brittany. He works at the church, leads worship and so forth. And then this past year, the younger two got married. back to back within 2 months. So let me just say, last year was a very,
and moved
very,
out. Praise
and
God.
Moved out. That's the part he's excited about.
So excited.
And paying all of their own bills. Yes. So that's why we have more money to spend on the grandbabies, right? Every time we go somewhere, we're wanting to buy for them. So it's just wonderful. Okay. So we need unity in our family, right? So how many of y'all have ever had, though, some type of spat or disagreement with someone in your family before? Right? Right. That's all happened to us before. And when there's a rift or there's tension, you know, it can affect the entire family. You know, it just kind of trickles down. It everybody feels it. Right. So we need unity in our families. And when I was younger, my pastor's wife would always make this statement to all of us. She would say, you know, to the wives and to the moms, that you are the one that sets the temperature in your home. And that just always stuck with me. You know, that if I'm in a bad mood, then it's going to cause everybody else to be off kilter as well, right? Because everybody knows if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, right?
If daddy ain't happy,
nobody
cares.
Nobody cares. That's what you say anyway. So, you know, we don't want to be the one that has the bad attitude that's causing this tension and instability in our home. We want to be the ones that set the temperature, and I want to be known as a peacemaker. I want there to be peace in my home. How many of y'all want to have peace in your home, right? And that is possible. That is possible when we pray and we say, Lord, we want unity in our families. We don't want there to be these different, you know, the different rifts or the tension that so easily the enemy can try to use. And I've often prayed, especially when my boys were younger, that Lord, show me how I can lessen the frustration in my home. Because sometimes, you know, we would get up for school in such a hurry and rush out the door, and it would just make for not a good day at school for them, you know. And the Lord showed me, hey, you've got to allow some time. You've got to do certain things, line certain things up to where there is peace in the morning time in your home. Getting them off to school. The same with when they come home at nighttime, that there's peace in your home, that if there's some type of disagreement between us, that we go and we handle that in private, that that's not just broadcast to where it brings all of this stress and tension upon our children. And so I believe that as we seek the Lord and we pray and we ask Him, He will show us how we can set the temperature in our homes in such a way that it brings unity for our families.
And are you done? Okay. I have a tendency to sometimes kind of butt in, okay? But I want to kind of take that and build off of it. She said that the pastor's wife taught her and all the young ladies that they set the temperature for the home. Guys, we can't use that as an excuse to say, well, that's the wife's responsibility. I'm just going to say it like this. If you have a rough day at home, at work, and you're headed home and you're stressed out and you maxed out and you know you kind of grouchy, you don't have the right to bring that home and dump it all over your wife and all over your kids, okay? So that ride home from work is your opportunity to spend some time with the Lord and give that stress, that anxiety, that bad attitude to the Lord so that you don't go home and be a jerk to your family and affect all of them, okay? So it is a great thought that the response, you know, the temperature set in the home by the wife, but husbands, we need to come alongside of our wife in unity because we are a team to make sure that we're doing our part to set the temperature as well in a godlike way. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so I need unity with my family. I need unity with my church. I need unity with my spouse. And here's where we wrap this up. We'll be getting the practical stuff. I need unity with my God. Everybody say, my God. Here's what happens. When we're in unity with God, we are in intimacy with God. We know Him. We're growing in relationship with Him. Daily, there's a desire within our life to spend time in prayer. Daily, there's a desire to spend time in the Word. And here's one of the things that I love. When we are in unity with God, we recognize His voice. We know His voice. A lot of times people say, well, I want to know the will of God. Are we spending enough time in the presence of God to understand His direction through the Holy Spirit? Or are we just kind of guessing at things because we don't really take time for God and make Him the number one priority within our lives? I got to tell you something. I know my wife's voice. And a lot of times I'm one who likes to play jokes and this, that, and the other. And she's kind of, you know, suffered through that these years that we've been together. We've been married this June for 30 years. And a lot of times I would call the house and I'd be like, you know, disguise my voice. Maybe some of you guys, other guys have done this, but disguise my voice like, hello, Mrs. Coleman, this is so-and-so from Bill Services. You know, trying to get her worked up, trying to get her anxious. And this is what she would say, Jay, I know it's you. I'm like, what? And sometimes I'd like play, no, Mrs. Coleman, this is Bill Services. We're, you know, disguising my voice all these different ways. And she's like, Jay, I know it's you. You might as well just drop it. She's like, we have caller ID, you know. And I'm okay. I'm telling you, one of these days I'm going to get you, though. But here's the reason why, even before caller ID, she knows my voice. I know her voice. You know why? Because we are familiar with one another. We know each other. And here's where it comes down to the brass tacks. Do we know God enough to be able to recognize His voice as He is leading us and directing us through the Holy Spirit? So as the church, as the body of Christ, we need unity with Him where we are growing in relationship with Him. Where Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 27, He said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me because of that intimacy. And so I need unity with my God, with my spouse, with my church. I need unity with my family. And if unity, get this, is such a great thing, it's so wonderful, it's so powerful, then the enemy's going to do everything he can to try to drive a wedge. He's going to do everything that he can to try to come in between you and these four different areas that we spoke about. So let's talk about some practical stuff, and we're going to wrap this up.
Okay, so first of all, we need to prefer one another. Okay, now so many times, you know, we want our opinions, our attitude, our way. We think it's the only way, right? But truthfully, it's not. And a lot of times we tend to operate in selfishness. We become self-absorbed in that sense. And we are not in any way thinking about our spouse or our friend or our loved one. We're not putting necessarily their needs before our own, and we need to honor and respect that. We need to prefer one another. The scripture in Romans 12:10, it says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love in honor, giving preference to one another. And I automatically think of an example, a couple of examples, actually, when it comes to preferring one another in our marriages. Okay, since we're talking about family and being better together in our marriages. You know, over the years, like you said, we've been married 30 years this June. And there have just been some things that I have fought him on over the years that I'm like, I'm just digging my heels in and I want to do it my way. And I don't want to, you know, listen to necessarily everything that he has to say in certain situations. And one, and this is a simple one, and it's kind of silly now that I think about it, but we would always get in an argument about going to bed at a certain time. It's true. Okay, I hope none of y'all have that issue. Okay, you don't have to raise your hand. I won't make you. But, you know, we would argue about that because he is an early bird and I'm a night owl. Like, I'm not a morning person. Like, you got to give me some time. Don't, like, really, I don't drink coffee even. That doesn't even help me to be a better morning person. So we would fight over, you know, going to bed. Okay, well, you just go into bed because I've got to pick up. I've got to do this, you know, get ready for the next day. I've got to do this, that, and the other. And all he wanted was for us to go to bed at the same time. And let me tell you, when I finally came to the realization that it was just a waste of time to fight over something so silly, and I'm like, okay, we're going to start going to bed at the same time. That brought such peace and unity to our marriage. Amen. Amen. So, and that's just a little simple thing that you don't even think about, but I'm assured that there's some of you here today that are married that you're thinking, okay, there might be just those little things that we can tweak in our marriage that will bring unity, that it will totally just change you know, the whole atmosphere or the temperature in our home. I was always worried about it being more about my kids setting the temperature, but it's the same with our husbands. Like when they come home from work, ladies, I was always like, who cares if you've had a rough day at work? Here, take this screaming baby. You know, I can't deal with it anymore, kind of thing. And he would get frustrated because he would come home and there would be toys all over the living room floor. Well, I had, you know, three little boys. I have them at home. I was a stay-at-home mom. And I was like, you know, this, we're just playing. This is what we're doing. And it would frustrate him to see such a mess. Okay, well, I finally learned, okay, we're going to have cleanup time right before Daddy comes home from work. And it caused there to be much more peace in our home. It's those little things that we can adjust when we're preferring one another, when we're putting each other before ourselves.
All right, so
that was my example.
Prefer one another. Here's another one. Serve one another. You say, why would I serve somebody? Because it ministers to their heart. You know, one of the greatest things that we saw, Clint referenced this earlier, was when 2016 happened and the flood happened, everybody was just so overwhelmed. But here's what I loved about that season within our community. I've never seen people in our community serve each other and love each other the way that they did through that. People cooking meals for each other, people taking people they didn't even know into their homes and letting them live there because homes had been destroyed. And it was just such a great time for the body of Christ to come together. And so here's what we've got to get in the habit of. We have to get in the habit of serving. And a lot of times we do a great job as a church. You guys do a great job serving. But I got to tell you something. Where does serving need to start? It needs to start in our homes. And husbands, we need to be serving our wives. Wives, we need to be serving the husband. Why? Because we're a team. We're preferring one another. We're serving one another. We need to serve our family. We need to serve our church family. This morning, it's so awesome to come in and see smiling faces and people helping with coffee and getting ready for everything. You guys do a tremendous job here of serving, but we have to carry that outside the four walls. And literally, we say this in our church. We don't just go to church. We are the church. And we tell our church, don't just let that be a saying within your life. Live it out. When you're at the grocery store, when you're at work, when you're in your neighborhood, look for those opportunities to be kind to somebody, to serve them, so you possibly have the opportunity to share the gospel with them. And so Jesus modeled this for us. John 13, he said this to his disciples as he's washing their feet, and he's there. You know, there's kind of some tension in the room, and then he says this. He makes this statement. He says, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set an example that you should do as I have done for you." So we got to serve one another in all aspects of life.
That's right. So we need to prefer one another, serve one another. And the last one is that we pray with and for one another. Because prayer is something that unites us, right? It unites us to one another and it unites us to the Lord, whether it's our personal time of prayer or whether we're praying for our family or our spouse. And, you know, that's a really important thing, moms, for our children to see, not only that we're praying over them, for their, you know, for their day at school or whatever it may be that they're facing, but that they see us, that we're teaching them to pray at nighttime, so that when we're no longer here, they know how to go to the Lord on their own, and that they see mom and dad pray together. We're setting that example for them, and also in our marriages that we pray together. I know, like, a lot of times we do this as we lay down to go to sleep because we go to bed at the same time now. We pray together before we go to sleep. And that's important that we pray with and for one another. So we're going to close out with that first scripture that we talked about, that we looked at earlier, where Jesus is praying over his disciples and over us to be in unity. And that's the John 17, 20 through 21, where it says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me."
Love it. Love it. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I want everybody to stand up. And we want to just pray over you guys. Thank y'all for hanging in there with us. I know we went a little long. If you're here for the first time, it's normally not this long. Pastor Clint does a really good job, okay? But she talked about praying for each other. We serve one another. We prefer one another. You know, one of the greatest ways to deal with discord within your home, start praying together. I ask couples, they come in and I counsel them and I say, hey, do you guys pray for each other? Oh, yeah, we pray for each other. I pray for her on my way to work and something like that. No. Do y'all pray for each other together out loud where you can hear? Your wife can hear you pray. Your husband can hear you pray for them. And they're like, well, no, we've never done that before. And a lot of times what I'll do is in that moment, I say, here's what y'all do. Y'all grab hands and y'all pray for each other. And husband, you're going to lead this. And then wife, you're going to pray for him as well. And I step out and give them about 5 minutes together to pray over each other. And I got to tell you what, most of the times, 99% of the time, when I walk back in that room, they're happy. The spirit of joy is there. I've walked back in the room before when they came in fighting. And I walk in the room after they prayed for each other. I'm not kidding. And they're like making out. I'm like, whoa, settle down, you know. So we need to be in the habit of praying for each other. It brings unity. And husbands, we need to be leading that. Amen? So let's pray together. Father, you're so good to us. Thank you for your presence here. You're so faithful and true in everything that we walk through in this world. And we recognize that there's a very real enemy trying to bring division and discord and destruction against all different areas of our lives, Father. And Father, we thank you for unity. We thank you for togetherness. We thank you that in our relationship with you, Lord, let there be intimacy there where we are walking united to you. In our marriages, Lord God, let there be intimacy there where we are united. We are walking in one accord, one mindset. In our families, in our church, Lord God. I thank you for Believers Church, Lord. Such a blessing to this community, Lord God. The years that they've been here, they've done so much to show your love. But Father, I thank you for what you've done over the last few years, Lord God. As it continues to grow and reach people, we thank you for that anointing, Father. For people just to recognize your presence, Father. When they encounter one of the church family, when they walk into this building, Lord God, because of unity, Lord. And we love you and thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing within our lives and for growing us, Lord God. In Jesus' name, what's everybody say together?